Young Turks. It's one of those days. I got serious stories. I got light stories. The light stories are awesome. There is a gentleman running for Senator of Mississippi. He's a very serious candidate, legitimate candidate, who believes that Hollywood is too soft on Muslims. We need more Muslim villains in the movies. Fantastic. Mitt Romney, dancing Gangnam Style. There is a bit of a controversy in that story. Mm-hmm. Is it how he danced? No. All right, that's all later in the program. And then net neutrality is a huge story. Obviously, we'll do that a little bit later as well. And the IRS scandal comes to a definitive end. But let me just explain. And then, in the second hour, the guy that they beat to death, the cops, not guilty. Unbelievable. So many unbelievers. Guy gets shot in a movie theater for texting. Not kidding. That's in the second hour. Okay. But overall, I have to warn you, I do feel a little today. In the first story, I will be quoting one of the TYT Live members within the story. All right. It is, in fact, go time. All right, in West Virginia, we had a disastrous leak. Only 7,500 gallons of MCHM, a chemical that went into the Elk River and shut down the water supply for 300,000 people for 5 days. So this was apparently due to lack of regulation. Now, I say that, I don't know why I added apparently, because it's definitely due to lack of regulation. It turns out if you're in the chemical making business, they do regulate you. If you're in the chemical storing business, not so much, as in not at all. Now, John Boehner is the leader of the Republicans in the House, and they are the ones that push for deregulation at every turn. So someone naturally asked him about this. Let's listen to his response.
Plan hadn't been inspected since 1991. Is that just part of the trade-off for less regulation?
No, the issue is this. We have enough regulations on the books. And what the administration ought to be doing is actually doing their jobs. Why wasn't this plant inspected since 1991? I am entirely confident that there are ample regulations already on the books to protect the health and safety of the American people. Somebody ought to be held accountable here. What we try to do is look at those regulations that we think are cumbersome, are over the top, and that are costing our economy jobs. That's where our focus continues to be. Thanks.
That's amazing. He just argued for less regulations. After we had a situation where we had no regulations, and he said, yeah, lower. Now, if you're not sure, let me quote the Associated Press from yesterday. According to the Department of Environmental Protection officials, Freedom Industries, that's the incredibly goofy name of this company that did the leak, is exempt from DEP inspections and permitting since it stores chemicals and doesn't produce them. It is exempt from regulation. How much less regulation could they possibly have, John Boehner? He says someone should be held accountable. I know who that is. You should be held accountable. In fact, I'm going to explain exactly how the Republicans knock down regulations in these fields in a second. He also said, I'm sure there are ample regulations. Based on what? Based on what? As always with Republicans, no facts whatsoever to back that up. Now, I want to mention someone who wrote into our program yesterday. We do this thing, hashtag TYT Live, where if you're watching the show live, we take your comments, question. And a guy by the name of Dubmaster C, that's his handle on Twitter, made a great point. He said, if Al-Qaeda had poisoned the water of 300,000 people, we'd have already invaded the wrong country. Since it's a corporation, carry on. Now, that is exactly right. If it's a corporation doing it, don't. Do you know that the local guys in West Virginia had no idea what chemicals were even being stored in that plant? Do you know that that plant is right next to the water supply? That's why it got into the water supply. Do you know that in 2001, when the company was sold, the previous owner had to come and clean up the site because it had leaked, the chemicals had leaked into the soil? Oh, no, you shouldn't inspect that. There shouldn't be any regulation of that. In fact, the local guys here, Laura Jordan, spokesperson for West Virginia American Water Company, says, quote, this was not a chemical we were familiar with. So when a dangerous chemical you are not familiar with leaks into your local water supply, you've got a bit of an issue. If Al-Qaeda did it, we'd right now be knee-deep in some Middle Eastern country. Could have been the one that attacked us. It could have been a random one. But we'd be there, right? If it's a corporation, oh, no, no, no. We need to regulate it less. Isn't that funny how Republicans love big government if it's an issue that helps corporations? Oh, we got attacked? Well, let's use all of our defense contractors. Let's use all of our private contractors. Let's go to war with our big government, with our gigantic government. Oh, same exact thing, results, but it's from a corporation. No, 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 smaller government, smaller government. Well, look at that. The common denominator is no matter what happens, the Republicans are in favor of helping corporations, whether it's big government or small government. Perhaps their governing philosophy is not actually small government, but giant big business. And however they can do, and whatever they can do to help them. All right, now, as John Boehner said in that little clip, he said, why wasn't this plant inspected since 1991? Well, it hasn't been inspected because you've been quietly killing off the regulators by defunding them. So now we go to the Huffington Post. Republicans, quote, even bragged about successfully cutting the EPA's funding by 20% since 2010 when summarizing the bill. That is the bill where they got the budget compromise. And they said, at least we got an EPA cut by 20%. That's what we won from the Democrats. And then he has the nerve to come out here and say, oh, you got poison in West Virginia? Well, you know, somebody should be held accountable. If you're not clear enough that that's cutting the EPA at least of those results, let me give you more. The EPA announced plans last month to significantly reduce inspections over the next 5 years. Now, you know why they did that? Because they don't have enough money. When you bleed them dry, and remember the Republican philosophy is shrink government down to the size of a bathtub so that you could drown it and kill it. That's what Grover Norquist said. He's the main funder. He represents the top corporations who funnel money into the Republican Party so they can lower taxes and kill off regulation. And as they're killing off regulation, every once in a while they might poison your water supply. Oops. So how about the Occupational Safety and Health Administration? Now remember, those are the guys that are also involved in this, right? They would look at a workplace, inspect a workplace, right? Let me quote again from this article. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration has also suffered under recent budget cuts. Due to low pay, the agency has struggled to hire and retain inspectors, resulting in so few workplace inspections that the average site will only face an inspection every 99 years. Yes, somebody should be held accountable. Somebody should be held accountable. Gee, I wonder who that should be. And then they brag about how they cut EPA and OSHA. Oops, they didn't have money or inspectors to inspect the sites. Oh, did they leak into your water supply? But they saved a couple of nickels. They saved, you know, enough money that they could take a portion of that money and pay off scumbag politicians like John Boehner. Ah, your water supply is contaminated? That's your problem and your kid's problem. That's not John Boehner's problem. That's not the problem for Freedom Industries. God, they're spitting in your face, man. They're taking the word freedom and using it against you. They're using it as a bludgeon, right? They're taking it like a stick and they hit you and they bludgeon you with it. And you sit there and you go, oh yeah, freedom, man, freedom, yeah. Yeah, your kids are free to drink that poison water. Now, luckily, they found in time that only 32 people got checked into a hospital, and then they didn't have water for 5 straight days, those 300,000 people. Like I said yesterday, in West Virginia, a lot of those folks aren't exactly going to go to the Bahamas on vacation for those 5 days. That's a real problem over there, okay? But, oh, hey, you know what? Corporations had to get just another tiny little advantage. Well, you might say, hey, listen, guys, come on now. I know this is in general. I know it looks like they can't inspect all the sites, but does this really relate to Freedom Industries and what happened in this case? So let me give you this last quote. OSHA officials had scheduled an inspection of the Freedom Industries facility in 2009, but canceled it because the facility didn't fall under the agency's special emphasis programs, the Associated Press reported on Tuesday. Now, the agency's special emphasis programs is the programs that are such a massive possible danger that they must inspect them. And if you're not in that category, that means you have less of a chance of getting inspected, even less than once every 99 years. In fact, they had an inspection ready for these guys, and they had to cancel it because they didn't have enough money. And lo and behold, several years later, turns out they should have inspected them. and the leak happens and the toxic stuff gets into the water. That's how deregulation poses a danger to the American people. And all that crap that they feed you about, oh, we believe in liberty and free markets. All they believe in is the almighty dollar. Big business buys big government and gets them to do whatever they want, even if it's ironically arguing against big government so they can get their way. That's what this story is about. Sometimes I get mad. Not discouraged, but mad. Their whole life is spent tricking you, man. And I know I overfocus on the media aspect of it, right? Like, because I get even more upset about that. But how many stations do you think ran that John Boehner clip and then explained how full of shit he was? No, here's what they did. They ran it, and they said, this is what the Republicans say. And then they probably had a quote from Jay Rockefeller, who's Democratic senator from West Virginia, who believes that we should tighten up regulations, obviously, in this case. He's like, makes sense, right? And then they'll leave it at that. Boehner says this. Rockefeller says this. We move on, right? You get a sense of context. You get a sense. And by the way, credit to the Huffington Post for doing a good job. Again, print journalism doing well. Associated Press at least pointing out that it had not been inspected since 1991 and pointing out that it is because it is not subject to regulation, okay? So, or apparently, you know, it's subject to inspection, but they didn't do that since 91. It's not subject to regulation. So those are good print journalists, but on TV, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and we move on, and you have no fucking idea who's actually at fault. And there is an answer to that question. All right, now let's move forward. So the president is trying to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10. Now, you may say, whoa, that's a big jump. Well, there's a reason for that big jump, because we haven't raised it in a long, long time. And whenever we do raise it, we raise it just a tiny bit. To give you context on that, do you know that if the minimum wage had kept up with productivity since the 1960s, you know what the minimum wage would be right now? In the ballpark of $24 an hour. Wouldn't that be nice? Now look, and here's the thing. When I say keep up with productivity, you have to understand something. The American worker earned that. You're really productive. Congratulations. Well, did you get the fruits of that? Nope. No, that went to the executives, okay? Your minimum wage is still stuck at $7.25, right? So now, if you went to $10.10, it wouldn't have kept up with productivity. Obviously, it'd be less than half of what it should be based on productivity. It wouldn't have kept up with inflation since the 1960s. But it's better than $7.25. Now, am I the only one who thinks that? No. Economic Policy Institute gathered up 75 economists, not a big deal, including 7 Nobel laureates. So these guys might know a thing or two about economics. And they said, yeah, of course you should raise it to 10. That's not a moral question. They said, economically, it would not only help the people who get that wage, but it would actually help the whole economy. First of all, it would lift about 5 million people out of poverty, so that's great, okay? But here's the interesting part. It would actually also grow the economy by $22 billion. And then it would add 85,000 new jobs. Now, let me pause there to explain why. Now, a lot of Republicans and conservatives will say, no. You guys don't understand economics. You see, if you increase the price, what they'll have to do is hire less people. And so you're actually creating more unemployment by increasing the minimum wage. And if you took first week of Economics 101, you might stop there and go, oh, yeah, well, oof, that's a good point. But if you're not a freshman in economics and you've actually studied past the first chapter, you'll find out that that is not necessarily the case. And these 7 Nobel laureates, among other economists, know economics. And what they're telling you is, it depends on where the wage is. Now, if the minimum wage was so high that it actually inhibited people from hiring, well, you could see that effect. That is a possibility. But it isn't that high. It's incredibly low. So when it's this low, what you do is when you pay people the extra $3 or so, since they're in a lower income bracket, they immediately spend it because they can't save it. They got to pay the rent. They got to buy food. They have to spend it. And when they do, that goes back into the economy, and that money creates more jobs because the economy is then raised, And you need more people. When you have that demand, you need more people to create the things that are sold. So, and the price is so low that it doesn't actually affect the number of people that are hired. Because, and I know from our experience, as a small business, we know in states that have minimum wages that are above $10, that it doesn't actually affect how many people are hired. In fact, this is not guessing, it's not anecdotal. These same 75 economists point to report after report showing that when those states increased their minimum wage, they did not lose jobs, they gained jobs. So when you hear the talking point that, oh, it's going to actually make unemployment worse, it is demonstrably not true. That is said simply because the Republicans work for corporations who want to pay their wages, to pay their workers less. They want the wages to be lower. So they go, yeah, I'll buy those politicians. They'll keep the minimum wage low. I'll save a ton of money. And where will that money go? Right into my pocket. You see, the executives that are making millions of dollars a year, they do save. Now, that's a good thing for them, but for the economy, that money doesn't go back into the economy, and it doesn't help it as much as if a person in a lower income bracket has the money. That's just, and that's, again, not a moral judgment. That's just an economic reality. So now if we raise it to $10.10, which is what people want here, that's the legislation that's offered up in Congress and the president supports, well, at least then everybody will be out of poverty, right? No. Well, they recently did a study in 2012 and tried to find out the minimum amount you need to be able to survive in the cheapest county in the country. You know how much that is? You need to make $10.20 an hour. Minimum need to survive in the cheapest county in America. So it's not like we're being overly generous. This is literally the bare minimum we can do. In fact, it's a little less than the bare minimum we can do. Right now, it appears to have very little chance of passing because the House Republicans say, not on our watch. We will not help Americans, the average guy, middle class. By the way, these are workers. They're not bums. They're not 47% milking off the rest. They're hardworking Americans. And they say, under no circumstances will we help those guys. You go keep voting for Republicans. Unless you're a millionaire or some Christian zealot that doesn't give a damn about facts, you're an idiot voting against your own self-interest if you vote for Republicans. If you're an executive of a multinational corporation, on the other hand, you love these guys. you get your money's worth. Every legalized bribe you gave to them, they give back to you plentyfold. This democracy. Democracy. You guys still think we have a democracy? You think we have a republic? You think we rule this country? The donors rule the country, man. $7.25. Productivity was great. Congratulations. You reap none of the rewards. If you're sitting there wondering how come you can't get out of that poverty, this is why. Because they bought off your politicians while you weren't looking, and you still keep voting for those guys. Yes, the Republicans are disastrous. If you vote for a Republican, you should have your head examined. Democrats are barely better. They're also very, very corporate, and they're also bought under the same system. So usually they give a lame effort, and then the Republicans win. And that's probably what'll happen here. Look, if I was a Democrat and I was earnest, here's how I would do it, okay? I'd come in and I go, okay, look, I would make this case. I say I'm going to raise the minimum wage. I'm going to help hardworking Americans. I'm for hardworking Americans. The Republicans are for multinational corporations. Do you know how easily I would win that race? I would crush the competition. This guy's for big fat cats. He wants to have them have more yachts. You're out there working every day, and what do you get for it? Right? Now, why don't the Democrats do that? Because they fucking like losing. They get paid by the same guy, so they get paid to lose. So they go out there and they're like, oh, okay. Look, I've shown it to you in previous articles where Democrats literally will say off the record, well, we can't run that kind of populist campaign because that would offend our donors. Welcome to so-called democracy. You know what I want. You know what I think. We got to get an amendment, right? If we don't get an amendment getting money out of politics, we are going to be forever screwed on all of these issues. Look, our site is wolf-pack.com, okay? Go, become a member, sign up. This is time for action, man. Look, I talked to the state leaders this weekend on a call for Wolfpack, right? And Rod's speeches are good, and there's, we got, you know how many people we got signed up on the website to volunteer? 10,000, okay? That's more than enough, that's plenty. But you know what? You gotta actually do it. I mean, it's good to get excited, it's good to sign up, but we gotta go get them. We actually don't need that many people. If we had 1,000 warriors that are actually going and calling our local state reps and senators, we would win. I guarantee you we would win. All we need is 1,000 hardcore guys, not guys who are gonna say, hey, listen, man, look, and don't get me wrong, every little bit helps. If you don't have the time and you wanna donate money, you wanna sign a petition, great, great, great. It all helps, okay? But if I had 1,000 warriors, 20 per state, that'll do it, okay? That actually hit the phones and worked hard on this, we could win and we could regain our democracy. And then you'd be shocked at what you could actually make for an honest day's work. Instead, they're robbing you blind as we speak. All right, I got worked up. I'm gonna take a break, okay? When we come back, more important stories like net neutrality, and then we'll have a little bit of fun and show you Romney dancing. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read some hashtag TYT Live for you guys. Actually, two from the same guy, Viper718. They're both good. I'm thinking we should move the plant directly into the water supply. Yeah, well, that's next. So actually, take it back. They might actually take up your suggestion. Well, if there's no regulation, why not, right? Anyway, and then he adds in a second tweet, when is the Young Turks going to take over the media and reshape it into its former glory? Correct answer, right now. Okay. So, now, I had a couple of fun stories. I moved them back later into the show. You know why? I'm angry, so let's keep it going, okay? I am now officially calling an end to the so-called nonsense IRS scandal. It's over. It's beyond over. So CNN is reporting that they are about to drop it. They have not yet dropped the investigation, but so far the investigation has turned up nothing. Nada. It's another word for it, squat. Now, of course, the guy we knew already who was leading this IRS investigation into the Tea Party and conservative groups was in fact himself a Republican and not just looking into Republican groups. In fact, as CNN's Joe Johns reports, it's pretty clear some progressive groups were targeted as well. So, next time you hear on Fox News or any other idiot conservative talk show host, IRS scandal! Know that they know they're full of crap. They already know that progressive groups were targeted too, but they don't give a damn. They just repeat talking points and hope that people think like, oh my God, Obama, oh, IRS scandal. There's no scandal. There's no such thing. It's made up. In fact, Joe Johns also, by the way, points out that they're not gonna let it go. This is totally political. He says, there are people on Capitol Hill who were outraged and have been demanding charges. We're not likely to have heard the end of this, Carol, he says, as he pitches back to the CNN host. So, there's no substance to it, but it doesn't matter, it's political. So you're not gonna hear the end of this. So, wait a minute, do the Republicans at least know that this is, maybe they didn't get the memo. Maybe they didn't hear about the internal investigation, they don't have the same sources as CNN, they never turned on CNN, they never read any of the articles that we've shown you in the past. Well, turns out they have. As Mediaite reports, in June, prior to the revelation that liberal groups had also been targeted, Senate Minority Mitch McConnell conceded that there was nothing to link anyone at the White House with the IRS allegations. So he knows that, and if you want proof of that, you can go to Tommy Christopher's article at Mediaite, and you can see Mitch McConnell saying it for himself. They know, okay? Well, that's not all. As Tommy also points out at Mediaite, in fact, while not a single conservative group was denied tax-exempt status as a result of that scrutiny, at least one Democratic-leaning organization was. So the big IRS scandal, where President Obama targeted Republicans and conservatives, in reality, targeted both groups, didn't take action against any conservative group, did take action against a Democrat. Wow, I can't believe how Obama and the Democratic Party targeted themselves. Actually, I can believe it. That's exactly what they do every time. But don't let anyone talk to you about an IRS scandal. It is fiction. 100% fiction, total and utter, unadulterated bullshit. How's that for clear? Okay, now that we've clarified that, we go to a disastrous ruling about net neutrality. Okay. All right, bit of a disaster today. U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit said, yeah, net neutrality, not so much. Now, what is net neutrality? It is the idea that the carriers that bring you the internet, such as Verizon, shouldn't be allowed to discriminate against different websites or content providers. Because if they can, well, number one, they can give themselves an enormous advantage. And number two, they could take political action to, for example, if you were doing an article that was critical of Verizon. Well, look at that, your website's so slow. That's a shame, right? Now, do these carriers have a legitimate beef? I think they do, actually. So it's not the easiest issue in the world. So for example, if you're Verizon and you built the pipes that bring the internet to your house, and all of a sudden Netflix takes up 50% of those pipes and makes a ton of money, you know, taking up those pipes, and you can't charge them anymore than you would Bob in his home, relatively obviously, right? Well, I can see how Verizon would be pissed about that. I think that we should find a solution to that. But getting rid of net neutrality is not the solution, because that then gives the Verizons of the world, and Verizon is the one that brought this case, tremendous power. So let me read you a description of what they can do here so you get a context. This is from Reuters. Quote, the eventual outcome of the dispute may determine whether internet providers can restrict some content by, for instance, blocking or slowing down access to particular sites or charging websites to deliver their content faster. So if you're Netflix, that might be a huge issue for you, and Verizon might say, hey, you know what, I kind of like your Netflix business. I'll call it Verizonflix and make mine super fast and yours so slow that no one can actually watch anything off of Netflix. Sad day, it was nice knowing you, you're out of business. That's a problem. Okay, but like I said, the much bigger problem is, I didn't like what you said about Verizon or any of the politicians that we gave legalized bribes to do our bidding. Oh, look at that, it's so hard getting on Huffington Post. No, you hang on there for 35 minutes and you might get to read an article or two. As an example, you want to give them that kind of power? That's a terrible idea. Now, this circuit court apparently went in that direction. It is not over. The FCC can appeal their decision on their power to regulate on this issue all the way up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court is also conservative. Plus, it's not even clear that the FCC is going to do that. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler at some point said that we need a two-sided market, which seemed to signal his openness to charging more to some companies so that the Verizon of the world could, you know, get their way in other ways. Now look, like I said, it is a real issue, so he might be on the level here, and he says, look, he's a total supporter of the open internet. Is that true? Who knows? You know, the Democrats appoint so many corporatists, it's nearly impossible to keep up, right? So we'll have to see what, and we'll judge Tom Wheeler by his actions. Should he appeal this to the Supreme Court? Absolutely. Will we win in the Supreme Court? I don't know. All they ever do is hand down pro-corporate decisions, right? So every once in a while you get a decision that says, yes, Obamacare can continue. But remember what Obamacare said. We must buy insurance from private corporations. So that wasn't anti-corporate either. Citizens United, that said corporations can give unlimited money into the political system. So we're in a little bit of trouble here. If a few companies that have those pipes can control what we watch or read on the internet, that's about as bad as news as you could possibly get. All right, I'm keeping it real. That's the reality. Okay, now that's your heavy news. I might have a couple more coming up later in the story, but we got in the show, but I got to lighten this thing up. So let's go to Romney. Not often you lighten the show with Mitt Romney. So let me tell you exactly where he was. Mitt Romney was at a regional conference for the Mormon Church. And they were having fun. There was young guys there, and they had a bit of a concert, and they started playing Gangnam Style. And guess who jumps up on stage? don't do it, don't do it. Oh no, here comes Mitt Romney. Gone. I like that he went stage diving afterwards. Now, this is a fun story, right? There's nothing to criticize. Wrong. Dancing to Psy's song? Do you know how un-American Psy is? The guy who came up with Gangnam Style? Do you know that he once said that he was opposed to the Yankees who have been torturing Iraqi captives? How dare he? Outrageous. I can't believe Mitt Romney did this. Now, if you were a long-time viewer of the Young Turks, you know I'm kidding, right? But if you're a conservative, you're probably thinking like, you see these liberals, man, they'll criticize Republicans for anything. I mean, criticizing for dancing to Gangnam Style or Psy, and who cares what Psy's political motivations are? Besides, would she apologize for that quote anyway? Well, we're not the ones who came up with that controversy. Do you know that in 2012, they criticized President Obama for meeting Psy? Yes. Conservatives, right-wing groups said, how dare President Obama meet with this un-American Gangnam-style guy? I'm not making that up. Aren't they unbelievable? Who cares if he meets Psy? Who cares if Mitt Romney dances to Gangnam Style? In fact, that's probably the best thing I've ever seen Mitt Romney do. You want to dance more to him? Have at it, hoss. Finally loosening up a little bit. Bless his heart. That was the most human thing I've ever seen Mitt Romney do. Is any liberal actually going to criticize Mitt Romney for this? Of course not, because we're sane, whereas the other side is insane. There's a million things to criticize President Obama for, but they have Obama derangement syndrome. They're like the zombies in Walking Dead. Criticize him for utter nonsense. Okay. But there is one thing to point out here before I leave you on this. Mitt Romney was on stage with the president of the five stakes, as they call him, in the Mormon church. He joked around about how he was the only non-president on the stage, and he tried to fix that but couldn't. That's fun. Every part of this story is fun. I'm on Romney's side. And then there was this quote. Now, this quote was by itself, I'd like this quote as well. But remember, this is the Mitt Romney who, during the campaign, kept talking about how he's a winner. Okay? You need somebody like him. You know, he ran all those corporations well. He made money because he wins, and that's what he does. And you need somebody like that in charge. All of a sudden, after he loses the election, he says, quote, there's a great deal of chance or serendipity or even luck to success in business, in politics, in science, in academics, in investments, in winning and losing. Before, he was a self-made man. He bootstraps. The 47% are bums milking off of us. The guys who made it, we earned it. Now he loses all of a sudden. Ah, who can tell, man? It's all fucking luck. Yeah, I hear you. Have at it, Hoss. Let me see it. Hold. Gone. All right, here we go. More fun. Right. Senator Thad Cochran from Mississippi has a primary challenge. It's a Republican who is to the right of him, of course. Right. It's Republican State Senator Chris McDaniel. And he's going to run against Thad Cochran, and he's got a lot of conservative support. Well, he's a fascinating character. He said some interesting things in the past. My favorite is what he said about Hollywood. Apparently, they have a pro-Muslim bias. Really? Okay, well, let me give you the quote. Now, this is back from 2006, and it was uncovered recently by a blog, Dark Horse Mississippi, that covers politics in Mississippi. Now, he said, quote, it's funny how the movies have portrayed themselves lately and how the video games have portrayed themselves lately. There's one person that cannot be a villain in Hollywood, ever. Ever. I love that. One group that cannot be villains. One group that cannot be villains. Who is that? Coho says, the Muslims. He says, yeah, isn't that neat? They'll go out of their way to find some Russian white guy that's just nuts, and he's a terrorist, which I've never seen that. But the Muslims, they've just disappeared from Hollywood's radar. Really? I hadn't noticed that. So, look, this list could go on and on. We just compiled the quickest list we could get in the time that we had. Let me read you some Hollywood movies where the Muslims are the bad guys. Iron Man, True Lies, Aladdin, well, I'll give him a break on Aladdin. Muslims are also the good guys there. The Siege, Executive Decision, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, a little bit of a break. That's at least based on reality, even though the part about torture isn't true, but the bad guys were Muslims in real life. Okay, Back to the Future, Killing Streets, Navy SEALs, The Human Shield, Patriot Games, Rollover, Hostage Flight, Ministry of Vengeance, Terrorists on Trial, Hot Shots, Hot Shots Part Deux, The Delta Force, and far, far more. But you see how Hollywood is so nice to Muslims. They would never make a movie where the Muslims are the villains. It's always a white guy. Man, they live on a whole different planet. On that planet, the Christians in America are the victims. They're so out of power. The poor guys, they've only had every single president. But in their world, they're besieged. And Muslims run the country, and we all live under Sharia law. And Hollywood loves Muslims. All right, but that's not all. First of all, this guy, like I said, is not some fly-by-night guy. I mean, he's backed right now by the Senate Conservatives Fund, the Club for Growth, and the Madison Project, all very large conservative groups. So this guy's backed by the establishment of the right wing against the sitting Republican senator who's massively right wing. But apparently, according to those groups, not right wing enough because he doesn't realize how biased Hollywood is in favor of Muslims. But that's not the only thing. He says, to have a little bit more fun, what are the Democrats? He says, quote, they're a party of sex on demand. If that's true, I should change my status from independent to Democrat. That sounds pretty good to me. Okay, I wager to say that sounds good to a lot of Americans. That is not what they are. I wish they were, but they're not. Okay, he also says of the Democrats that they want homosexual marriage and polygamy completely legal in all 50 states. There's not a single Democrat in the country who's argued for polygamy. There are, of course, Mormons who are very Republicans who have. Okay, but that's a different matter. But as long as you're making up stuff, what difference does it make? And then he said cutesy things like this. Osama, I mean Obama, might be somebody who follows God in some respects. That's a twofer there. He doesn't really believe that Obama's a Christian and refers to him as Osama. Very classy guy. You can see why all the large conservative groups are behind him. And then finally, this one is my favorite. You want to talk about absurd. He says the reason Canada is breaking out with brand new gun violence has nothing to do with the United States and guns. Interesting. It has everything to do with a culture that is morally bankrupt. What kind of culture is that? It's called hip-hop. Okay, gee, I wonder what he means by that. I can't quite piece it together. And I didn't realize that Canada had a hip-hop epidemic. Is that what's going on in Canada? I mean, the guns that are causing the violence are not the actual problem. It's black folks. I mean, hip-hop. And American culture has gone over there with all the hip-hop in Canada, and that's what's causing the problems. Well, this Chris McDaniel guy seems like a real class act. So those are your two choices, Republicans in Mississippi. Enjoy. All right, now, let me do one last story for you in this segment, and that is Chris Christie, because apparently you can't do a show in these last 2 weeks and not mention Chris Christie. You can't miss him. Okay. I'm not even trying. I'm not trying. All right. Here we go. Okay. By the way, I literally can't think of Chris Christie without thinking of Jimmy Dore. Okay. So, Chris Christie mired in controversies. Of course, the biggest one is the closure of the George Washington Bridge. But it's okay. He fired some of his deputies and he threw them under a bus. And says it wasn't him, he didn't know. He had all this time, he had all like 4 months to figure it out, but he just couldn't figure out that there was no study, traffic study there at all. Oh, golly gee, I don't know, traffic study, who could look into that? I found out right after they released it to the press that it turns out my guys are in charge and ordered the closures for political retribution. Anyway, you know that story. But one thing he said is this David Wildenstein, who is his guy at the Port Authority, who ordered the closures. Well, he barely knows that guy. Now, they went to high school together and came up in politics together. He's like, but I wouldn't call him a friend. No, probably not. Like Steve-O and I, the COO of the Young Turks, we came up through high school together and we work together now, but I never met the guy. Okay, so it gets better. He says, quote, you know, I could probably count on one hand the number of conversations I've had with David since he worked at Port Authority. I did not interact with David. No, who's David? And then he went on to say, quote, I've had no contact with David Wildstein in a long time, well before the election. So, Wall Street Journal has a picture of Chris Christie with guess who? Oh yeah, David Wildstein. There he is in the red tie. Okay, standing right next to, oh right, Chris Christie. Okay, now that was on September 11th. Now to be fair to Chris Christie, that was before the election, but that was 3 days into the lane closures. They were in the middle of doing it when they met right there. Handful of interactions. David Wildstein, where do I know that name from? He's the guy standing right next to you. All right. By the way, the deputy that Chris Christie fired was Bridget Ann Kelly, who was talking to Wildstein and basically ordering the shutdown for political reasons, and we know that because of her emails. And once we found the emails, of course, she was promptly put on the underside of a bus that Chris Christie's on, so imagine the damage. Okay, I gotta stop. All right. So they say, well, she was a rogue, bad apple, right? Now, friends of hers talking anonymously to the New York Times saying, she, quote, follows the chain of command, they say. And the friend continues to say, quote, she's not a cowboy. Okay, she's not, in other words, ironically, to mix metaphors here, she's not going to go off the reservation and be like, even though my boss would be really mad if I did political retribution on his behalf, I'm going to risk that anyway. Who does that? Think about that. Why would you want to piss off your boss by attacking his enemies? No, you would want to make your boss happy by attacking his enemies. The idea that Chris Christie didn't know is a big fat joke. Sorry. Okay, my bad and my mistake.
I regret it. I'm sorry. Just saying, I'm sorry. That was just my mistake and my bad. I'm sorry.
As an overweight New Jerseyan, Chris Christie, I'm sorry for that and that only. Okay, everything else you deserve more than handily. So go ahead and eat it up.
Oh my God, I am totally, 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 totally sorry for that.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Some hashtag TYT Live for you guys. Susan Singer writes in, since productivity has far exceeded wages, workers should stage a slowdown to scale commensurate with that pay. Interesting. You know, if my pay is lower, maybe my productivity should be lower. Interesting. Now, Matthew Gables writes in, shouldn't Republicans love the idea of raising the minimum wage? Less people on the government teat, right? Why isn't this talked about more? Right. That's because they don't mind people on the government welfare at all. But they don't want you on government welfare. They just want you to live on $7.25 an hour. And if you can't live on it, they don't give a shit, right? But if you have to take it from Walmart or the government, the Republicans would much rather have you take it from the government, right? Not Walmart. So you're very right about that, Matthew. And then I love what David L. Reeves wrote in here. He said, the solution is simple, referring to the net neutrality issue. The information infrastructure is infrastructure. It should be publicly owned like the roads companies rely on. It's a very interesting idea, right? And one they should think about. Probably will go nowhere, even though it's a good point. Chris Dupree finally writes in, as a resident Canadian, I can promise you hip hop showed up here one day after New York, and it didn't bring guns with it. Okay. It doesn't matter. You know that he's not talking about hip hop. Hip hop's a code word for black people. Okay, I don't know if you knew that. Okay. All right, now let's go from one goofy Republican to another. I'm going to Bruce Burns. Bruce Burns is a lawmaker in Wyoming. He's a state senator, and he has an interesting new idea. Let's bring back firing squads. Great. Now, he's saying that if they have trouble with the lethal injection, either because of court challenges or because they're running out of the chemical, as is happening in some states, and he's like, well, we got to just come up with more creative ways of killing people. And he says, look, we got a couple of options, firing squad or gas chambers. Oh, those are your options. Interesting. And is he not merciful? He's decided gas chambers are not the way to go. First, he says this. The state of Wyoming doesn't have a gas chamber currently. An operating gas chamber, so the procedure and expense to build one would be impractical to me. I like that. He's like, ah, gas chambers, they're so expensive. Yeah, that's the problem with them. Now, to be fair, he does add, look, I consider, frankly, the gas chamber to be cruel and unusual, so I went with firing squad because they also have it in Utah. Oh, well, if they have it in Utah, then it can't be cruel and unusual. Gas chambers, they're so ghastly. But when you shoot people in the head, that's awesome. Okay, he goes on to say, one of the reasons I chose firing squad as opposed to any other form of execution is because, frankly, it's one of the cheapest for the state. See, he's trying to look out for folks, right? You know, you just takes a couple of bullets and you're done with the guy, right? But you know what? I thought of something that I think Bruce Burns will like. There is a cheaper way to do this. You just take the guy and you lay him down and you take a big rock and you smash his head over and over again. And he'll die eventually. That costs less than a bullet. Just, we're looking out here trying to save the taxpayers' money. Or better yet, you know what you could do? Just lay on top of the guy and choke him with your bare hands, right? Because that doesn't cost any money at all, right? I mean, look, it's not the gas chamber, right? One final quote from Bruce Burns. He says, the expense of building a gas chamber, I think, would be prohibitive when you consider how many people would be executed by it, and even the cost of gallows. So, once again, absolutely obsessed with costs. Now, he's got a good point, though. All those gas chambers and gallows would be problematic because the number of people on death row in Wyoming is one. They haven't executed anyone since 1992. There's currently a guy on death row in Wyoming. But all this talk of how we're going to execute the guy and how he can't wait to bring back firing squads, it's not because he's overly concerned about how to execute that one guy. They have enough chemicals for him. It's because they get off on it. He wants to go home and brag about how he brought back firing squads to Wyoming. They get hard off this stuff. So that rock example, let's hope that I'm just exaggerating, but it's right around the corner. Firing squad. We're going to go back to firing squads?
I'm not all that well versed on firing squad, but this because of that, where do they shoot them? They make sure it's, I mean, because this thing, you can get shot and not die immediately, of course. So is it between the eyes? Are they shooting? Of course, we always know, because there's been instances where you face them or it's the back of your head. It's possible to get shot in the head. Maybe they use a large enough fucking bullet, maybe it's this big, and it explodes your head like a watermelon. I don't know, but there has to be some cases where it didn't work right away. Just like sometimes, you know, electric chair, that's how why it was so cruel. Sometimes people didn't die very quickly, or it was a lot of pain. It has to have happened.
I know, that's why the rock is probably a little bit better. A couple of blows will do it. Yeah, no, they, from what I know, they have a bunch of guys, six guys or so, they shoot at the guy's head. Only one of the bullets is real, so they don't know who's killing him.
Right, you but know, then what if that one, it's one bullet. What if that bullet just kind of gets just the wrong part of the head?
Of course. You think these are like the world's greatest snipers? Maybe they are, and maybe they are. And even if they're the world's greatest sniper, of course you could miss. And then you take out the guy's eye, and he's lying there. Then you got to come in with the rock. Okay, and by the way, the other thing they could do is they could auction this off to the largest Republican donor in the state, you know. Who'd like to execute the guy on death row? You think, like, the guy doesn't want it on his conscience, so that's why they have the six guys and only one of them has the bullet, right? First of all, if you're going to do it, right? Well, if it's not cruel and unusual punishment, why are you worried about the guy having it on his conscience? Second of all, you think there aren't Republicans in Wyoming who wouldn't volunteer enthusiastically for that? We did the story of how in Dallas they paid $350,000 to kill an endangered black rhino. Now, theoretically for conservation purposes, but they did pay that much money. How much money do you think you can get for an actual human being? Yeah, that sounds terrible, right? You know what else sounds terrible? Firing squads. All right, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to save Mary Catherine Hamm, who was a hoot and a holler in her fight with Bill O'Reilly, till tomorrow. When we come back, couple of devastating stories. The guys, the cops in Orange County that beat the homeless man to death, not guilty. We'll tell you how that went down, and then a guy gets shot and killed in a movie theater for texting. All right, we'll be right back.